It's time for this bi-weekly meeting of the Finance and Business Committee of Denver City Council. Join us for the Finance and Business Committee starting now.
Myself. All right. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Finance and Business Committee. We're just coming off the heels of Mayor Council, so apologies for starting just a little bit later than we anticipated. My name is Serena Gonzalez Gutierrez. I'm one of your council members at large and chair of the Finance and Business Committee. Today is Tuesday, August 12th. I'm going to have my colleagues go ahead and do introductions, and then we'll go into today's agenda. So with that said, I'll start over here to my right.
Good morning, Chris Hines, Denver City Council District 10, or Denver's Perfect 10.
Kevin Flynn, Southwest Denver District 2.
Under-caffeinated and trying to cook.
Come on now.
Paul Cashman, South Denver District 6.
Just got my caffeine. Diana Romero Campbell, Southeast Denver District 4.
Good morning, Daryl Watson, representing the Fine District 9.
All right, great. Thank you, everyone. We have one agenda item on the agenda today as far as for action, and we have a few items on consent. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Tracy, who's joining us. If you can introduce yourself and go ahead and proceed with the presentation. I'll be keeping track of a queue, so if there are questions from council members.
Happy to do so. Good morning, everyone. Tracy Huggins, I'm the Executive Director of the Denver Urban Renewal Authority, bringing for your consideration this morning the amended and restated urban redevelopment plan for the 27th and Larimer urban redevelopment area. So, as I said, this is an amended and restated urban redevelopment plan because in November of 2022, City Council adopted the original 27th and Larimer urban redevelopment plan, which did a number of things. It established the urban redevelopment area, and in doing so, Council found that the area was blighted, consistent with the statutory definition. It found that that urban redevelopment plan conformed to Denver's Comprehensive Plan 2040 and its applicable supplements. And it also found that the area was appropriate for one or more urban redevelopment projects, including a project that I'll describe here in just a moment. The majority of the property in the area is located within a full city block formed by the boundaries of Larimer Street, 27th Street, Lawrence Street, and 26th Street. And then as you can see, there is a smaller portion of the area that is located south of 26th Street along the northeast side of the 2500 block of Larimer Street. I'm gonna give just a little bit of background here. In early, very early 2022, Edens, who is the developer of the site, applied to Dura seeking financial assistance to support their redevelopment effort. At the same time, they were actively seeking a rezoning of the property that at the time was several low density and outdated zone districts. And they sought to have it be transitioned into a PUD that tailored the design and use requirements specific to their redevelopment program. In June of 2022, Council approved that rezoning. And as part of that rezoning, the developer undertook a significant community outreach process that included a number of meetings with various neighborhood organizations and stakeholders. And the input from those meetings with the community led the developer to shape aspects of their development program and make several public benefiting commitments associated with the project. This at the time included entering into an affordable housing agreement with the city that requires 10% of the residential units to be affordable to households at no greater than 50% of AMI. And then they also made several other public benefiting commitments, including a commitment to create a 10,000 square foot publicly accessible outdoor plaza in the middle of the development program. To implement an affordable business incubator program that includes offering commercial space at significantly reduced rents with an emphasis on growing small, BIPOC, and veteran-owned businesses. And then also a commitment to renovate the VOA headquarters that were and continue to be located on the site to allow the nonprofit to continue to operate in this community. They also committed to repair and integrate the existing facades into their design. So with that then, I think I've covered all of the background stuff. So with all of that in place, Dura brought forward the original urban redevelopment plan with a project description in the plan that read as you see here. It was really mixed use with the development of several multi-story buildings that will provide a mix of uses contemplated to include retail, residential, including the commitment to the affordable units, public accessible outdoor plaza, and below grade parking. As they had originally contemplated, they also allowed for the VOA to retain ownership of their renovated space in the headquarters, as well as, again, the 30 spaces of parking for the VOA. But due to the general and financial market conditions, the project that was originally defined in the plan has just not been feasible. And the area, since it's been a number of years and nothing has happened, the area does continue to deteriorate. So from 2022 through the middle of 2024, the developer attempted to secure a partner to construct the residential portion of the project, but they just were not successful in doing that. So in early 2025, they proposed a revised project that focused on the adaptive reuse of some of the buildings on the site to create new retail space, to build a new retail and specifically a grocery store building on the south and northeast portion of the site, replace the originally contemplated below-grade parking with surface parking, keep the open space square footage and the office space as they had originally contemplated, and postpone. I don't want to say completely ignore, but really emphasis on postpone the residential development until market conditions were more favorable. Do want to note that they have been able to secure the financing for this newly defined reduced project scope. And so in order for us to remain and maintain consistency between what the plan says, the project defined and the amount and the way that Dura would support the project, we are bringing forward this amended and restated plan that will do two things. It will amend the project description, and then it will make the necessary conforming changes to those sites regarding plan compliance, plan between the urban renewal plan and the other city approved plans. So the first of those changes is that of the project. So I already described what the original plans, how it defines the project, and this is how the amended and restated plan would define the project. And it would mean the adaptive reuse of several existing buildings and the development of new buildings in the area that will provide uses contemplated to include retail, commercial, still the publicly accessible outdoor plaza, and site improvements. So as you can see on the chart to the right, the revised project consists of about 60,000 square feet of retail space that will include a grocer, while maintaining the 10,000 square feet of publicly accessible open space and the office portion of the original project. The space that was planned for the residential buildings and the below-grade parking will become surface parking for the project. The existing buildings along Larimer Street between 26th and 27th will be adaptively reused. A new building will be constructed for the grocer on the corner of 27th and Larimer, and the existing buildings between 26th Street and 25th Street will be demolished and replaced with new retail storefronts. Every urban redevelopment plan must link the urban renewal plan objectives, including the defined project, to the city priorities and goals that are described across the applicable plans, including Plan 2040, Blueprint Denver, and in this instance, the Northeast Downtown Neighborhoods Plan. And the original urban renewal plan focused on goals related to mixed-use development, including the development of housing. The amended and restated plan removes the goals specific to housing because that will not be a component of assistance provided by the Urban Renewal Authority and instead reinforces the goals specific to adaptive reuse. The amended and restated plan was presented to Planning Board, who unanimously found it to be in continuing conformance with Plan 2040, Blueprint Denver, and the Northeast Downtown Neighborhood Plans. With the change in the project scope, DURA did re-underwrite the need for tax increment assistance necessary to support this phase of the project. The original TIF commitment of approximately $19.6 million has been reduced to approximately $9.3 million. These amounts represent and still represent about a 12% amount of the total project budget. And just as in the original project, the revised project use of tax increment will be used to reimburse those costs that are directly addressing the blighting conditions found on the site, as well as to support the development vision. So I've talked about the things that are going to change, the definition of the project, as well as the plan conformance site. So let's spend just a moment talking about the things that are not going to change. The boundaries of the urban renewal area will not change. The boundaries of the tax increment area will not change. And the timing of the tax increment will not change. The same 25-year clock that started tolling in the end of 2022 continues to run, making the latest expiration date 2047. In addition, as you know, we are required anytime we are looking to utilize property tax increment to enter into agreements with the other property taxing entities regarding the use of the increment attributable to their mills. No changes are being contemplated in regard to any of these agreements either. So with Mile High Flood District, we are still in a position to be able to collect and retain all amounts attributable to the mill that they levy. With the Rhino bid, we are also looking to keep that agreement completely as is, where any amount of incremental taxes that we collect that are attributable to the bid's mill levy, upon collection, we just pass over back to them. And then with Denver Public Schools, again, no change to that agreement. We are able to continue to collect and retain the amounts attributable to the DPS mill levy. In addition, when we first undertook the agreement with DPS, it included the expectation of there being housing on the site. And so with that, DPS had calculated a $3.4 million potential impact to their ability to deliver services with this residential in place. Because there is still the keen expectation that housing will at some point be delivered onto this site, and because the use of the property tax increment, including that of DPS, is being utilized to remedy the blight that will further enhance the likelihood of that housing being ultimately delivered, we felt it best to continue to honor the terms of that agreement with DPS. And so we, DURA, will continue to pay over to DPS that $3.4 million over the term of the tax increment area. I also just want to note that these are specific to DURA and the DURA agreements, but there are other things, as I mentioned previously, that the developer has agreed to do as part of the rezoning that still are in place and will need to be honored as the project moves forward. They are, let's see, even they've In addition to getting the financing necessary to do this, they've also done a number of things that were anticipated as the project first brought forward. Specifically, they have worked with the VOA after they acquired their kitchen and warehouse space to move them into new space in order for them to really meet the needs of their clientele. They've already included the refurbishing of their headquarters building at the building at 27th and Larimer. And they will continue to be held to those same expectations regarding those other community serving outcomes, including the affordable housing, at such time as that is brought forward. Edens has also worked with the community on this proposed project change, and they've received letters of support from Curtis Park Neighbors, as well as the Rhino Design Review Committee. From a schedule standpoint, as I already mentioned, the amended and restated plan was presented to Planning Board in mid-July. The Dura Board approved the plan at their July meeting here today, asking for your consideration in anticipation of being able to move forward to full council consideration, including a public hearing on September 8th. Dura always works really closely with the developer and the city before bringing any urban renewal plan forward to City Council for your consideration. And in most of these plans, the project that is contemplated is what is actually ultimately delivered. But in these uncertain and challenging economic times, that isn't always the case. And that is really what is happening here. As I noted at the beginning, this is an area that continues to be blighted and is continue, therefore, to create challenges for the neighborhood. This first phase of the project, including the delivery of the retail component and, in particular, a grocery store, and their continued commitment to the VOA and the other community uses, are really important undertakings that, quite frankly, cannot be accomplished without tax increment support. There's still a strong desire and expectation from the developer to deliver the housing phase, and that opportunity will certainly be enhanced by allowing them to move forward with this initial phase. I really appreciate your consideration of this, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you so much, Tracy. Going in the queue, I know since this is in District 9, I'm gonna start off with Councilman Watson, who's in the queue, and then to Councilman Hines.
Thank you, Committee Chair. And first and foremost, Tracy Huggins, thank you so much for the clear, succinct discussion. This could be seen, felt as absolutely a complex process. Your stuff is complex, but I appreciate the clarity of the transition to this phased approach, to the work that your team is doing with community and with the developer, and kind of the succinctness of your presentation. I have to highlight one of the things I found to be really creative that you and your team did was ensuring that the agreements with other taxing entities, which was a cause for a little pause for myself, especially the DPSPs, because that was hard fought and hard discussed in 2022, even though I wasn't on this council. I came to speak in favor and I participated in the community process in 2021 and 2022. That was a tough discussion for DPS, and I appreciate the commitment made. I was curious, Madam Chair, may I ask the developer to come forward and answer a few questions?
Yeah, that's fine.
From Edens, I believe we have someone. Do you mind introducing yourself? And I have maybe one or two questions for you.
Yeah, my name is Thomas Pekarsik, Managing Director of Edens, owner and developer of this subject property and properties next door.
Thomas, thank you so much for your collaboration with my office. First question, for phase two development of the housing, can you speak to council and to the folks who are watching your level of commitment, your expectations, and maybe provide some color around some of the points that Tracy made as far as the steps you took since 2022 to actually meet the initial phase one expectation of housing?
Yeah, so our belief, the site should be mixed use and vertically integrated, but at this moment in time, the market conditions don't allow that. In order to remove that blight, we looked at this interim phase so that we could remove the blight, bring the activation that we're hearing from the community, the neighborhood servicing retail, so that in the future, which might be 15, 20 years, depending on where the market goes, the ability to bring back that density, bring that affordable housing at that 10% of those units at 50% of AMI, which would be coming in for 99 years. So that commitment there continues, and as soon as we deliver that residential, bring that affordable housing when that market allows.
Dallas, can you also speak a little bit to the commitment, which once again was discussed in great detail in 2022 about the spaces for retail and the long partnership with BIPOC small businesses that you currently have up and around that block, but also on this new development. Talk through how that continues with this change.
Yeah, it continues to be extreme importance for us. Of our 40 tenants across the street between Larimer and Walnut, about 49% of them are BIPOC. And it's extremely important for us as we bring in local retailers, really what creates what the neighborhood is. It creates the uniqueness of the neighborhood and draws retailers. Having that balance between a national and having local, having that synergy between those, but really a place is nothing without those locals and having the support of the neighborhood and the organizations we've been working with and to continue to find new businesses to open up within the neighborhood as well.
And final question on community process. Can you elaborate on what that community process has looked like with the iteration of this possible change for a phased approach for this DORA project?
Yes, we've had multiple meetings with Curtis Park Neighborhood at their monthly meetings. We just had a meeting of a little over 30 days ago with Tracy going through the updated DORA. Prior to that, we had walked through the updated plan scope that removed the housing to bring activation today, and what we heard from the community in those meetings were they wanted to remove that blight today, get activation, and the neighborhood servicing retail was a huge focus, and our goal is to bring that as quickly as possible to the neighborhood.
Did you say grocery store? I mean, that is insanity. Thank you so much, Thomas. Thank you. No more questions.
Great. Thank you. Councilman Hines.
Thank you, Committee Chair, and thanks for allowing Councilmember Watson to jump the queue, because I was going to ask a question, and I think some of the context that you helped remind me of helps me frame the question. So, Director Huggins, you probably know that the city of Denver is the third most expensive housing for rental market in the nation. We just passed a new ordinance abolishing parking minimums here in Denver because we have a housing crisis, not a parking crisis. On its face, it seems a little strange. And I would say the second thing, Cherry Creek's a national anomaly in that there are a bunch of office buildings that are planned and under construction in the neighborhood of Cherry Creek. Pretty much everywhere else, office construction has halted. So I think without the context that Councilmember Watson has, that Eden's has, I think people would be confused. Why, wait a minute, we're putting housing on hold and we're greenlighting businesses. So I think, will you kind of talk, you mentioned that 49% of the businesses are BIPOC. Will you talk about, I think at one point you hired someone whose job was to go find BIPOC businesses to locate here, and add additional color about why these businesses are not the same as everywhere else in the nation and why it does make sense to continue forward with business redevelopment and not residential.
Yes. So our head of leasing, Morgan Parker, who has been in Denver for the last 5 years, leasing the asset, really going around finding those best up-and-coming locals to bring them to Rhino. The draw of over about 3 million people come to just Denver Central Market. So the expectation of people coming to the neighborhood and seeing and experiencing those retailers, having that synergy between those national and that local, but really going out to those farmers markets, going to outskirts to see someone that wants to start a business, trying to help them start a business, because it's really, really hard to start a business. And now over the last 3-4 years, getting a loan for starting a business has become extremely hard. So utilizing very conditioned spaces so it's easy for retailers to enter to get a footing and so that they can grow versus taking a long risk and minimal capital outlay, because right now they do not have that capital. But it's really who's walking around and picking and finding and talking to the community to find those new up and coming businesses. That's how we're sourcing those.
And Patagonia is still there?
Patagonia is still there.
So people will maybe come for the name recognition of Patagonia, but stay and perhaps invest additional sales tax dollars into our city by learning a bit about all of these locally minority-owned businesses.
Yes, that's the combination of that national and the local. Really, the draw can be that national that gets them there, but what really makes it unique is having those local businesses there. And so you can go see a Patagonia all across the country, but as you go to small businesses, you're not gonna see that. So when you come, you might come just for Patagonia or come for Denver Central Market and you experience everything else around. So with this additional 60,000 square feet, we'll have about 200,000 square feet of retail that really be synergistic with each other to continue to drive the neighborhood there.
Like Be a Good Person would be an example of that. So that's one of the current retails that are there near Central Market that is in partnership of this elevating Black-owned businesses, green spaces, which is one of the beneficiaries of DDDA's first $100 million grants that's going to be now downtown as well. It's another one. So you go to Patagonia, you go to some of these national brands, but then we discover Be a Good Person and becomes a national phenomenon. Everyone's wearing Be a Good Person shirts. That's because of the development initially targeting Black business owners around Central Market that the Eden team began prior to 2022.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a great plug for the DDA and downtown. Yeah. Downtown is everyone's neighborhood. So wouldn't it be great for you to see Be a Good Person on 16th Street? And you say, where are you? And then you go up to to this location and see them again. And so now we're getting people in everyone's neighborhood, as in downtown, to go back to other businesses that are located elsewhere in the city of Denver. So, but I just think that that additional context is important, because on its face, no to housing, yes to business seems quizzical to someone without that additional context. So, thank you, Director Huggins. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. I do want to make sure I recognize Council President Sandoval did join us a little bit earlier. And I don't see anybody else in the queue, so I'm actually have a couple questions, and I'm sorry to make you have to come back up. But can you tell me, when you said you had the community meetings and you had mentioned the Curtis Park RNO, what were the other, engagement opportunities with community that you had?
Other meetings that we had. So working with the Rhino Arts District and engaging with that community and with the design committee on our plans. We've had our activations and community engagement. We have about 100 activations on our property across the site next to Denver Central Market a year. So engaging with the community, understanding what's missing, what we're seeing, analyzing data, but really hearing from the community, from those one-on-one conversations and dialogues outside of those larger meetings of what are we missing in the neighborhood? How do we continue to drive people to this place? Our ultimate goal is to drive people to our places 3.5 times a week and have them spend 90 minutes every time they come to our place. And so really to draw that many trips really demands the kind of neighborhood servicing retail and ability to engage with seating and activations with movies to spend over 90 minutes every time you come. So we're really focused on how can we bring people more back to the property more and more each week.
How many residents were part of those conversations? Like people that live in the area as opposed to like business owners and folks like that?
Within the Curtis Park meetings, each meeting we had probably 30 people in person or online at our meetings. And then the Rhino Arts District, more the internal committee that was then communicating out. But the Curtis Park has been that massive port. And then walking all the neighboring owners and talking through the project, because we are doing some undergrounding of utilities, giving some updates there of when that work's coming. This is what you're going to be seeing and feeling, because the townhomes really behind on 26th Street are really in the face of that project, and we share that alley that goes to the smaller block. So engaging with them one-on-one in those, giving those updates and providing color and answering any feedback and concerns and staying very close, because we're, as we move through the project.
Okay, thank you for that. And can you go into a little bit more detail as to why building housing was not feasible? What was the issue?
Yeah, we spent over 2.5 years working through trying to find a residential partner, based off of the interest rate increases, really, when the project started. Required returns for residential development increased over 150 basis points, which, with the reality of where construction costs are in Denver today, with the glut of supply that we have in the Rhino neighborhood where rents are, that there's no way, even without any land value, to build with subgrade parking, residential units, and still be able to hit those required returns for a residential project.
Okay. And I know, Tracy, you said that it's not completely off the table. It's paused. And so is there some potential or anticipation that perhaps where the parking is going could end up being developed into housing maybe someday if things were more feasible?
Yes. And depending on the exact timing, it could be exactly the same project that we originally intended, okay. Just depending on when the market comes back.
And will that parking be free parking, free of charge, or will it be charged?
It would be using some sort of validation or restriction just so that we don't have people sitting there all day long. But it's really working in partnership with our retail partners of how do we keep it reasonable for tenancy, so through a validation program, so that we keep it free and flowing, but so that anyone can come to the location.
So then it will be charged or it won't be charged?
There would be some sort of validation if it was charged for a certain amount of time.
So it's unclear whether or not you'll charge.
It would not be charged, but if we have an issue with, that's what we'd have to manage so that parking can be as free and available for everyone.
Okay, thank you so much. That's all I have. Thank you. Any other questions from council members? Okay. This is an action item. Do folks need a roll call vote? No roll call vote? All right. This will... I need a motion. Okay. We have a motion and second. Councilman Hines, second. Motion by Councilman Watson. And this will go forward to the full body. Thank you. With that said, we had two items on consent. Those will also move forward to the full council, and we are adjourned. Awesome.